Good morning. How's everybody doing? I have one word for Arkansas weather. Schizophrenic. Do you realize it's like a 50 degree difference between yesterday and today? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Well, hey, next Sunday is Christmas Day. Is that exciting? That's exciting, isn't it? It's very exciting. Not very often does Christmas Day land on a Sunday, but that happens this year, and so we're very excited to get together as a church family and friends and worship Jesus next Sunday morning at 10 a.m. It's going to be a very exciting time. A couple things I want to tell you about that to encourage you. It is going to be a family-friendly service, and it's going to last about 35 minutes, so parents with long kids, that's to encourage you a little bit. And also, here's the deal. You know, the weather's kind of schizophrenic right here. We've looked at the weather app and all that kind of stuff. I really don't care what it says. Listen to me closely. Next Sunday, Holland Chapel, Christmas Day, predicted, you heard it here, it will snow at Holland Chapel next Sunday morning. I didn't say Benton. I didn't say your house. I said at Holland Chapel. All right, you've heard it here. See you next Sunday morning. Dreaming of a white Christmas. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Hey, as we get ready to just celebrate Christmas next week, we want to look at Scripture this morning, look at God's Word, and talk about Christmas a little bit and the thrill of hope that it truly does bring. And I think that all of us would agree that hope is a big deal. In fact, without hope, we wouldn't have Star Wars, right? That's what it's all built on. And I believe that hope overcomes our fears. And there's a lot of things that we're afraid of. I have my fears and you have your fears. And so here's what I think. I think my fears are legitimate and serious. I think your fears are kind of funny, right? Speaking of funny fears, I want to give you a few of them this morning. Got a few words coming on the screen for you here. The first one is ergophobia. For the bosses in this room, this is going to encourage you to understand some of your employees a little bit. This is the fear of work. Some people have it, don't they? It's legitimate. Next one. Nomophobia. It's short for no mobile phone service. One study revealed that at least 50% of people have nomophobia. Think about it. Yeah, we're driving to Branson. We probably don't have any cell phone service, right? I mean, there's that fear. Like, there's going to be like a stretch here where just no connection with the world, right? Nomophobia. Next. I promise I practiced this one. Arachibutyrophobia. I did good, didn't I? All right. Is that on the screen? Yeah, okay, cool. This one is actually the fear of peanut butter sticking to the top of your mouth. It originated in the Peanuts comic strip, and it kind of stuck, and it's kind of a word now. It's a word. It's a word. Next one. Go ahead and tell your neighbor what that says. You might want to give it a whirl. I'm going for it. Hippopotamonastropaquipedalophobia. That's what I'm going with. Fear of long words. Fear of long words. Next, for those of you with kids in college, decidophobia. Decidophobia. It's the fear of making decisions. That one didn't get any laughter at all. All right. Next one. I got two more. All right, next one. Luposlipophobia. Luposlipophobia. All right. This was first coined in a Far Side comic, and it's become kind of a cultural phenomenon. So in case you're not in the know, here's what this involves. It involves the fear of being pursued by timber wolves around a kitchen table while wearing socks on a newly waxed floor. Boom. Luposlipophobia. last but not least, ecclesiophobia, fear of church. Hopefully, after today, if that was you coming in, it's like your first time and you're kind of freaked out a little bit, I hope that we can set those fears aside. But some people have it, right? And so, again, like other people's fears to me, they're funny, they're kind of silly. Like my wife's fear, I think it's kind of silly. She would totally disagree. But her fear, her main fear in life that I know about anyway, is a fear of spiders. And I think that one's silly because, you know, a spider is not bigger than I am, so I can just go, right? Take care of it, all right? Now, I have a fear, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, because one of my other fears is that you will find out what my fear is and use it against me, all right? So I'm not even going to do that, and the people in this area over here need to quiet down. All right. Some fears are funny. Some fears are healthy. Wouldn't you agree? Some fears are healthy. I think a fear of God is healthy. Wouldn't you agree, church? A fear of God is healthy. Fear of hurting yourself, definitely a healthy fear. Fear can protect us. So let me make a sobering statement as we think about some healthy fears. If you're living at a low level of commitment in your marriage, you should have fear right now. If you are doing anything underhanded in relationships or partnerships or in business, there should be fear in you right now. So there are certain fears that are warranted and healthy and good. There are some fears that grip our soul. Many people in the world are paralyzed by fear, and some of those fears are legitimate and they're real. Some people fear losing their job. Some people fear losing their retirement. Some people fear losing their marriage. Some people fear losing their home. Some people fear losing a loved one or finances or relationship, or they fear health issues that may be coming their way. And the list of heavy hitters just kind of keep coming, those things that grip our soul. And so today, as we talk about fear, I know it's real for a lot of us. I don't know what you're going through, about to go through, and what's gripping your soul. And what I know is that I need and that you need hope in our lives. So as we talk about fear, I want to give you five things really quick that fear can potentially do to you, things that it can cause in your life, some chaos that it potentially can bring about in your life. And also, in case you didn't know it, your fear doesn't just affect you. Your fear affects the other people around you. It just does. Okay, number one, fear stifles our thinking and actions. It creates indecisiveness and results in just kind of getting stuck. I've known talented people who would procrastinate because they were afraid to jump out there and do something, and it just kept them from becoming everything that they could have and should have been because they didn't want to risk failure, and so they got stuck in their fear. Lost opportunities just went by the wayside, and a downward spiral can begin. Number two, fear hinders us from becoming the people God wants us to be. God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for me. God's got a plan for us. And if we just walk in fear, guess what? We're not going to become everything God wants us to be, because we're going to listen to our fears, and we're going to get stuck, we're going to get stymied, and we're not going to be able to move forth and do the things that He wants us to do. We're going to begin to forget who He declares us to be. Many of you today think way too low of yourself, and this is not a self-help talk. This is a God-help talk. You need to listen to what God declares about you. You need to be reminded that Jesus loves you. You need to be reminded that Jesus will give everything for you. In fact, He did. He gave His very own life for you because He values you. He looks at you, every single part of you, your good parts and your bad parts, your kind parts and your mean parts, your righteous parts, if you will, and your unrighteous parts. And He says, you know what? I see all of it, and I love you, and I want you. But fear hinders us from becoming who God wants us to be. Number three, fear can drive people to destructive habits. Some people get so overwhelmed with fear that they decide, I've got to cope. And they begin to cope with things like drugs, alcohol, overeating. And the list could go on and on and on of destructive habits that we can form in our lives because of fear.
Number four, fear steals peace and contentment. It robs us. When we're always afraid, our life becomes centered around pessimism and gloom. In fact, we become so negative that we want everybody else to be negative too. Bah humbug, right? Well, if this is the way it's going to be for me, I want it to be that way for everybody else, so I'll just suck everybody else into my negativity. Our fear doesn't just affect us, it affects everyone else around us. And then five, fear creates doubt. Fear creates doubt. Man, is there any hope? Man, is there anything that can really help me? Is there a truth that's out there that could be discovered that could shift everything for me? Will God come through for me? It may even take you to the place of thinking, man, is God even real? Well, there's real fear in our lives. And I believe there also is real hope available. Check out Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Very familiar passage of story when it comes to Christmas. It's what we call the Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Okay? Christmas is a time of hope. It should be a time of hope. And yet Christmas is actually a time where most people face some of their biggest fears, okay? Some of you have to see your in-laws, and there's a word for that. Pentheropia. Pentheropia. That is the fear of encountering your in-laws. And yet some of you in the room like, man, I wish that was what my fear is right now. I wish that's what I was dealing with right now, because what I'm dealing with is so big and so huge and so overwhelming. Some of you are facing what is to come. Some of you are dealing with loss. And what all of us need is hope. Real fear needs real hope. Luke chapter 2, beginning of verse number 1. "And that time, the Roman emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Well, that's just a cool thing to read this time of year, isn't it? Isn't that very fitting? I mean, it's just kind of comforting. It's kind of neat. It's kind of cool. It's kind of got a poetic sound to it, and it's got a familiar sound to it. It sounds nice. It's easy on the ears. But what's to it? Can this little baby that we just read about actually bring hope to the entire world? I don't know what you think the number one word is that comes out of people's mouths when they see a baby, but my experience, personal, seeing brand new babies and or watching other brand new babies, people around brand new babies, the number one word I have had come out of my mouth and I've heard come out of other people's mouth consistently is this: aww. Right? Isn't there something about a brand new baby? You just don't really have words. You're just kind of in awe, and the only thing you can say is, aww. I mean, it's a miracle. It's a new life. I mean, everything about it's just amazing. And I would also say that there is something connected to just a brand new baby, just kind of bringing hope to those that are around. And I think the way that just an average baby that's born, by average, I mean not Jesus, like my kid or your kid being born or somebody else's kid being born. And for us just to kind of feel a little sense of hope is because we kind of see in this baby, you know, brand new start. Everything's fresh. Everything's new. Their whole life is ahead of them. As you and I are at this point in life, we look back on life, right? And there's a lot of things in our life we're like, oh, man, some things just bring us to tears. Some things overwhelm us. Some things we've blotted out of our memory. We don't want to remember them anymore. And we're like, man, if I could start over, that would be so great. That would be so incredible. I totally wouldn't do that. I totally wouldn't be friends with them. I totally wouldn't have gone there. Oh, man. If I could hang around this kid, I'm going to tell them what I know because they got a fresh start. They can do this thing from a clean slate and they can make a difference. I can make a difference in their life by helping them as they go along. And so there's something about us as parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends of these little ones that we want what's best for them. And so we start speaking into their lives and there's a little bit of us that kind of wants to live vicariously through them, right? Surely no parents in the room have ever done that, right? Just go to the baseball field during baseball season. The loudest parents, whoo, some of them, they are living vicariously. At least they think so through their children. If that bothered you a little bit, so be it. Anyway, sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens. And here we have Jesus. And here's how Jesus flips everything. Jesus says, guess what? I came to live vicariously for you. That's what Jesus came for. It was to live a life that we couldn't live, to accomplish some things that we couldn't accomplish, to do some things that we couldn't do, to not do some things that we just can't help ourselves from doing. So when Jesus shows up, he truly is the hope of the world. If you think about baby Jesus and you just want to say, aw, because you're in awe of him, great, wonderful. There should be more awe and more wonder and more amazement about the little baby Jesus because that baby grew up and lived for us. Lived in a way that we couldn't live. Lived a life that we ultimately were intended to do. But because we're messed up and because we're so in chaos in this world because of this ugly thing called sin that each and every one of us struggle with, are guilty of, our friends struggle with and are guilty of, our mate is guilty of and struggles with. We have chaos in our world. We just do. And Jesus is like, I'm coming to bring you hope. I'm coming to do what you couldn't do. I'm coming to live perfectly. I'm coming to live perfectly. So Jesus, a baby, the hope of the world? Well, see, this is not my baby. It's not your baby. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty proud of my kids. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of fun with them, and I think they're smarter than your kids, and I think they're better looking than your kids. And I'd like to say, you know, they're more obedient than your kids, but I'm not going to go that far, right? But this isn't about my kid. This isn't about your kid. This isn't about your niece. This isn't about your granddaughter. This isn't about your grandson. This is the Son of God. The Son of God, bringing hope to the world. This baby grows up and lives vicariously for us. Not only lived vicariously for us, check this out. He died vicariously for us. You see, that story of Jesus, as most of us know, he grows up. There's a connection between baby Jesus and adult Jesus, the same one. He grows up, and he ends up doing these incredible miracles, and he heals people, and he brings sight to the blind, and he helps the those that can't speak to speak, and he heals their legs and makes the lame to walk, and he does all these incredible, miraculous things. That Jesus, the Jesus that walked on water, that Jesus, they put him on a cross and they crucified him. And they crucified him for me and for you and for every other human being that has ever lived on this planet, is living on this planet, and or ever will live on this planet. And Jesus died in our place. And then he rose up from the grave victoriously. Jesus, this little baby, grew up perfectly, never sinned, never did anything disobedient, never did anything deceitful, never did anything underhanded, loved everyone, cared for everyone, did kindness to everyone that he could possibly touch or meet. And they put him on a cross, and he dies there in my place and in your place vicariously. And there, put him in a grave, and victoriously, 3 days later, he rises up from the dead. That's the reason why the angels went to the shepherds and said, don't be afraid. It's the reason why in Scripture, 189 times, it declares, fear not. And if you want to question me on whether or not fear not is in the Bible 189 times, read the Bible, get back with me. If you got a different number, we'll talk. That's cool. Go for it. 189 times, Scripture declares, fear not. Fear not. Here's something I want you to know about fear. Fear is unavoidable. You will deal with it. I will deal with it. But hope is available. I don't know what you're going through, what you're about to go through, what you don't know you're about to go through. Fear is going to hit you in the face. It's going to be something you and I have to wrestle with and deal with. It is unavoidable. But hope, regardless of your situation, regardless of your circumstance, regardless of what you're going through, it is available. It's available. I want to read some scripture for you now, and so you can look them up with me, or you can look on the screen. I'm going to look at several and just let God's word speak about hope this morning. Romans 15 and verse number 4. Romans 15 and verse 4. It says, such things, like we just read, were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us, what does it say? Give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 21. And his name, and it's talking about Jesus here, and his name, the name of Jesus, will be the hope of all. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress and protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? Romans 5. Verse 2, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now I'll drop down to verse number 5, and this hope that we have, it will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans 8 and verse 24. We were given this hope when we were saved. Did you hear what was being declared there, Christians? When we placed our faith in Jesus, he planted a hope in us that will never die. We are people of hope because of a baby whose name was Jesus, who grew up and lived for us and died for us and rose up from the grave victoriously. Romans 15 and verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13. I pray that God, this is my prayer for you, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21. Through Christ you have come to trust in God, and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. One more I want to read to you. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Will you read that scripture with me? God's words to me and to you. Let's read it. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Wow. Let me tell you something. Fear is unavoidable, but hope is available. I want to give you a few things to consider this morning as we wrap up what we're talking about and give you some next steps to consider. They're on the back side of your communication card. They're also going to be on the screen. And maybe for you, your next step today is just to understand that hope is available. Maybe for you, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're facing. Maybe nobody around you even knows. Maybe you're too afraid to even tell people what's going on with you right now. And you just need to know that based on the truth of God and the person of Jesus, that hope is available. May that encourage you and strengthen you. May you find faith to believe the truth of the Word of God this morning, to come to that place of hope. Because here's what I know. If you lose hope or I lose hope, guess what we do? We quit. We quit. We surrender. We stop. We're done. It's over. But oh, what hope can do. Pray that you can understand that hope is available. Maybe for you, your next step today is just to trust God fully with my fear of and fill in the blank. And maybe for you, it's not one of those big old long honking weird words we gave earlier. But maybe for you, it's just a fear of, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's relational. I don't know what it is for you in your world right now and where your fear lies. But for you just to come to the place and say, God, I trust you. I don't have it figured out. I can't fix it. I don't know what to do. I've tried everything else, but I'm done trying, and I'm going to start trusting, and I'm going to place my faith and my hope in you, and I'm going to give you my fear. Maybe even the letter S needs to be on there. I'm going to give you my fears. So what is it that you need to trust God fully with? And then next, maybe you need to spend time in the Word of God so that He can fill you with hope. Maybe reading there just a few moments ago, those few scriptures that were given just began to spark hope in you as you read and heard not the word of the church or the word of the pastor, but the Word of God, which is truth that we place our hope and our faith in so that He can bring hope to you today. Listen, our prayer, our hope is that you will understand who Jesus is. Listen to me, Christians. Be reminded of who Jesus is. It's so easy to forget and make everything, even Christmas, about everything but Jesus. Remember who He is and the hope that He brings, and let's celebrate Him. Listen to me, if you've never placed your faith in Jesus, our prayer for you is that you will experience the hope that we have. Not because we're good people, not because we go to church, not because we're better than other people. We have hope because of Jesus. And the moment that we placed our faith in Jesus, hope came alive in us, and nothing can ever, ever, ever put that out. And we want that for you. We want that for you. And so our prayer is that you will experience hope today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much For Jesus, let us not say his name flippantly or loosely as if to forget who he is and to forget what he has done and to forget what he has provided. But as we speak the name of Jesus today, may we be just fully knowing in our hearts and in our minds to the level that we are able to comprehend and understand how great and how mighty you, Jesus, are. That you're not just the son of somebody, but you are the Son of God. And you left everything to enter into our world that is full of fear and full of chaos and full of hatred and full of brokenness and full of sin. And you, Jesus, entered into this world and you lived a life that we could not live. A life that we want for our kids, a life that we want for our grandkids, a life that's not experiencing brokenness and sin and chaos. And you lived that because you knew we couldn't. And you brought us hope, and you brought us life, and you brought us salvation. And so, Father, may we, your people, believers, rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus. And Father, may the people that have not yet placed their faith in Jesus to experience this hope, may today be the day of hope for them. May today be the day of salvation for them. May today be the day that changes their life, both now and forever. Move in our hearts today through your Holy Spirit. God, we need your hope. We cry out to you, and we believe in you now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray.